afternoon. I'm Jacob Kersey with news headlines from the Washington Watch News Desk. Former President Donald Trump's campaign outraised the Biden campaign over the past 2 months. According to Federal Election Commission reports filed late yesterday afternoon, the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee had $171 million combined, while the Biden campaign and the Democratic National Committee had $157 million combined. That gives former President Trump a $14 million lead over President Biden in campaign fundraising.
I'm telling you, there is something going on in this country. And I think whenever you look at our fundraising numbers, look in the 48 hours after Donald Trump's verdict was read and that ridiculous court case in downtown Manhattan. We raised $70 million, and 30% of that money came from people who had never once donated to Donald Trump.
That was Republican National Committee co-chair Laura Trump earlier this week on Fox Business. And fundraising isn't the only lead the former president currently has over the sitting president. According to a recent Emerson College poll, Trump currently leads Biden in six battleground states, including Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And while many Democrats had hoped that Trump's conviction last month would negatively affect him ahead of the upcoming election, it has instead enabled the Trump campaign to pull out in front of the Biden campaign in fundraising, even though President Biden's re-election campaign had a significant cash advantage. Switching over to national security news, yesterday Houston police arrested two illegal immigrants originally from Venezuela and charged them with capital murder. The suspects, who are 21 and 26 years of age, are charged with the brutal murder of 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungary, who was taken from her home, strangled, and then dumped in a creek.
The arrest has taken place. The charges have been filed. Now we want the justice system to do its job. If there was ever a circumstance where you do not give someone bail, this is it. I want these suspects to have their day in court. I want to be held accountable, and I want it done sooner than later.
That was Houston Mayor John Whitmire during a press conference yesterday. After the February murder of 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley by an illegal immigrant, immigration was pushed front and center for voters and presidential candidates. While news of these two murders went viral, many other criminal actions by illegal immigrants have not. The U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens reported yesterday on the social media platform X that the Border Patrol has apprehended over 13,000 illegal immigrants with criminal convictions. He further reported that 360 of these have had gang affiliations. In international news, Israel is warning that war may be expanding now that Hezbollah has threatened to attack Cyprus. Just on Wednesday, Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah, announced that if Cyprus helped Israel in an attack against Lebanon, Cyprus would become a target. He also warned that if Israel and Hezbollah entered an all-out war, nowhere inside the country of Israel would be safe. The Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs responded Thursday in a post on X, saying, quote, "Nasrallah threatens to attack Cyprus. Iranian missiles and extremist Islamic terrorism threaten European countries and the entire free world. We must stop Iran now before it's too late." And finally, in domestic news, the Biden Department of Justice filed a lawsuit yesterday against five pro-life protesters who were blocking the entrance to an abortion facility in Fort Myers, Florida, in January of 2022. Three of the protesters named in the lawsuit were previously convicted earlier this year on Freedom of Access to Entrances Act, or FACE Act, charges for an incident that took place in Tennessee. The DOJ also filed a lawsuit back in May against two pro-life organizations and seven pro-life activists for allegedly violating the FACE Act while protesting at Ohio abortion clinics. And those are today's headlines. Once again, I'm Jacob Kersey. For more news and commentary, be sure to check out The Washington Stand at WashingtonStand.com and follow us on social media for updates at FRCDC. Up next is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. We'll see you on Monday with more news.
From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you on board with us. All right, let's hit some of the highlights coming up today on Washington Watch.
Over the last 10 years, Colorado officials and activists have tried to punish me for my religious beliefs. They have even tried to change my beliefs. Through all this, I believe firmly that free speech is for everyone, and no one should be forced to express a message that they don't believe.
That was Jack Phillips, who once again finds himself in a battle with the state of Colorado as he was dragged into court yet again this week, where they're forcing him to defend his deeply held religious beliefs. Well, Jack Phillips and his attorney, Jake Warner from Alliance Defending Freedom, will join me a little bit later in the program for an update on the oral arguments this week that they gave before the Colorado Supreme Court. And the Biden administration's border crisis has literally turned every state into a border state, straining local resources in cities all throughout the country and causing inevitably an uptick in crime. And unfortunately, oftentimes those crimes are violent and even deadly. So why does the left want us to ignore this kind of lawlessness?
Our banner said, soon Biden announces legal protections for undocumented spouses of U.S. citizens. CNN's banner said, Biden announces new protections for some undocumented spouses. Here was Fox's banner, migrant arrested for raping 13-year-old in New York City.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of the problem, right?
Exactly.
Well, that was MSNBC's Joy Reid and Democratic Congresswoman Jayapal. And we'll be talking about this and look ahead at next week's two-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision with Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale here in just a few moments. And as we continue to examine election integrity in the lead up to voting this November, there's some disturbing news coming out of Michigan, where both Michigan's House and Senate chambers have now passed legislation that may make it much more difficult to investigate claims of election fraud.
After 70 years of this bill, the Democrats have stripped out the ability of the Board of Canvassers to investigate fraud in a recount and to get subpoena power. And now you refer it off to these hyper-partisan individuals who will never prosecute this. This is an outrage that we have had this bill passed.
Wow, that was Michigan State Senator Jim Runstad on the floor earlier this week, and he will be joining me to explain what's happening in Michigan just a little bit later in the program. And then in our weekly worldview discussion, Joseph Backholm, FRC's senior fellow at the Center for Biblical Worldview, he'll be joining me to examine what the left gets wrong when it comes to the debate of posting the Ten Commandments in public schools and how that worldview actually plays out in society's view of the importance of marriage and family. So we have a lot coming your way on this Friday edition. Don't forget to join our website if you need it, tonyperkins.com. We have tons of resources available there for you, as well as archived programs and such. In fact, if you miss any portion of today's program, you can find it right there at tonyperkins.com. And just a reminder, as you well know, biblical truth is under attack in our culture, and you can help FRC defend the faith. You can help us right now. You can help us twice as much. You can take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match, and thereby you can have twice the impact by whatever you give if you do so before June 30th. So to join us in defending the faith, simply text the word defend to 67742. All right, now let's jump into our opening story for today. The Biden administration's border crisis, which has now opened the border to more than 10 million migrants, has turned literally every state into a border state. And unfortunately, tragically, it's led to deadly results in more than one instance. But even as poll after poll reveals that voters consider immigration to be the number one problem facing our country, the left continues to claim that Republicans have politicized this issue and that, in fact, it's not even an issue worth covering. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Matt Rosendale. He's a member of the House Border Caucus, as well as the Committee on Veterans Affairs and Natural Resources. Congressional District of Montana. Congressman Rosendale, always great to have you. Good to see you.
Great to be with you. Coming live from Glendive, Montana today, Jody.
Beautiful place, beautiful place. We're glad you took time to join us. All right, let's jump into this, Congressman. When you consider how President Biden has literally opened the border to migrants without considering documentation or even background checks for that matter, do you think it's really inevitable that we're going to have outcomes like we saw with Lake and Riley earlier this year and other tragic stories like the one coming from Houston and New York this week? Are these type of things inevitable with the current border policy of this administration?
They're not. We've been screaming that this was going to happen. When you were still with us, Jody, we were screaming that this was going to happen. As you just mentioned, we've got it now. We've got the death of Lake and Riley, just tragedy down in Georgia. We also see the same kind of thing, a young 13-year-old girl gagged, tied up, and raped in a park. We've got the folks that were in Indiana. They had a 14-year-old daughter who was kidnapped by five illegals. They were getting ready to transport her to California. How do you think that that was going to end up? And we've been screaming about how this crime is being transmitted throughout the entire nation. That's why Alejandro Mayorkas, quite frankly, as Secretary of Homeland Security, was the only cabinet member who's ever been impeached. And he was impeached by the House of Representatives. Unfortunately, the Schumer-controlled, the Democrat-controlled United States Senate would not remove him, but the impeachment still did take place. And there was just a mountain of evidence that showed that they have a complete disregard for enforcing the laws and protecting our border.
I don't know if you were able to hear a little bit earlier. I played coming into this MSNBC's, excuse me, Joy Reid and Congresswoman Jayapal. You probably heard that. But they're calling all of this as just a bunch of fear-mongering from Republicans. How do you respond to that?
It's unfortunate, and it's really I feel bad for the parents of these children that have been lost, that have been raped, that have been murdered, to listen to the Democrats try to completely minimize not only the crimes that were committed against their children, but the impact that this is having on our nation. This is only the tip of the iceberg, Jody. We know that there's been 20,000 Chinese nationals that have come into our border. And when you start talking about trying to vet these folks when they get to the border and the background checks, they cannot conduct any good vetting or background checks. They're coming from places that there are just no records. The fellow who committed one of these crimes, it was the murder of the woman, allegedly murdered the woman in Maryland. When they picked him up in Oklahoma, as also has a charge, they think that he committed a murder in El Salvador about 30 days before he came here, and his DNA is connected to a home invasion in L.A. So all we're doing is collecting data at the border so that when they show up again, we can connect to when they came into our country. But it's very difficult to find out what they did before they came here. And again, this open border with 10 million people that have had encounters with the Border Patrol and another 2 million people that have snuck into our country as gotaways, at least, is creating an invasion within the country that law enforcement and quite frankly, even the military is having a hard time trying to control.
No doubt about that. And you add to that all the potential terrorists who are here. In fact, we know many of them are here. That's why our red light is blinking right now, giving warnings all over the country of potential terror threats. And by the way, the Biden administration responds to all of this with an executive order this week granting amnesty to up to half a million of these individuals who have come illegally. Unbelievable. Our time is slipping away. If I can, Congressman, I'd like to switch topics on you. Monday, we're going to celebrate the two-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision, which, of course, overturned Roe v. Wade. In fact, you were at the Supreme Court on that day. There's so much going on in this battle for life, from IVF issues to the life battle to and a lot of it's coming out in the election cycle that we're entering into. But does this anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade provide a reminder, really, of the differences between the parties and how the Democrats are running on abortion for this upcoming election?
I think it really helps us to draw that stark line, Jody, between what the Republicans represent and what the Democrats represent. They represent the death. Okay, they represent death, and the Republicans have continued to embrace and support a culture of life. And this is where the abortion issue needs to be brought up. It needs to be very clear that we are against the killing of children. But that's why I was glad to see that you had invited Dr. Mueller onto Family Research Council just the other day and had a good conversation about IVF. My heart aches for couples that aren't able to conceive children. But the general public now is becoming much, much more aware of these 500 or so clinics that are conducting these procedures, and they have very, very little oversight whatsoever. They are fertilizing millions of embryos. And if you truly believe, like I do, that life begins at conception, then we have millions of children that are being conceived around the country, and only a small percentage of them are actually being brought to birth outside of the mother's womb. And so there's somewhere between 700,000 and who knows what of these fertilized embryos that are being discarded and or destroyed every single year, as compared to nearly 400,000 abortions that Planned Parenthood is conducting every single year. So the IVF industry is literally destroying at least double, based on just the limited information we're able to get, children every year, double the number of children every year that Planned Parenthood is. And so we as elected officials need to do what we can to educate the public, let them know what is going on, and try to get some kind of regulation put into that industry that I assure you is doing it for one reason, and that's the almighty dollar.
Yeah, billions and billions in that industry. And, you know, like you said, there's just virtually no oversight whatsoever, no accountability. And many of these embryos end up being experiments as well. And it's unbelievable what is turning into right here. And that is now part of the abortion battle, and the push really coming from Democrats includes IVF. Congressman Matt Rosendale, always great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking time out of your beautiful time there in Montana to join us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Jody. God bless you and your viewers.
Thank you so much. All right, friends, we got much, much more to cover, including right after the break, Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips. You've heard of him. You've been hearing about him for years. He and his attorney from Alliance Defending Freedom will be joining me to tell us what is now taking place with him in his case to stand for his deeply held religious beliefs. You don't want to miss where we're going right after the break. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together
and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Download the new Stand Firm app for Apple and Android phones today and join a wonderful community of fellow believers. We've created a special place for you to access news from a biblical perspective, read and listen to daily devotionals, pray for current events, and more. Share the Stand Firm app with your friends, family, and church members, and stand firm everywhere you go.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and glad to have you on board with us. All right, Masterpiece Cake Shop owner Jack Phillips was back in court this week fighting his third case for merely wanting to live out his faith through his business without the state compelling him to celebrate occasions that violate his deeply held faith. This is the third trial that he's now had, this time with the Colorado Supreme Court, where he had oral arguments this week. And now he joins me with Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel Jake Warner, who argued the case. So Jack and Jake, welcome back to the show. Always great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. First, let me just say, Jack, thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing. How are you doing?
We're doing great. The arguments, I think, went really well, and we're all in a good, positive mind.
Well, good for you. Well, listen, all of us, millions, have so much respect for you, and we're deeply grateful. All right, Jack, all right, tell us what came out of the courtroom this week.
Well, on Tuesday, we argued before the Colorado Supreme Court advocating free speech is for everyone. You might remember a few years back, a local Denver attorney asked Jack to create a custom cake, blue on the outside and pink on the inside, that would celebrate a transition from male to female. Jack serves people from all backgrounds, but that's a message that he can't express for anyone. And in the courts below, the courts ruled that Jack could be punished for declining to express that message. And we've had to appeal all the way up to the Colorado Supreme Court now, where we are advocating free speech is for everyone, and the government should not be able to force people like Jack to express messages they don't believe.
So, Jake, what do you make of this, continual, a nonstop push that comes from the left against people of faith?
Yeah, for the past 10 years or so, government officials and activists have been misusing state law to force people like Jack to express messages they don't believe. It's a misuse of the law. And thankfully, just last year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 303 Creative that the government can't misuse the law to force people to say things they don't believe. we're very hopeful that the Colorado Supreme Court will heed that precedent and apply it to protect Jack in this case. We hope that this harassment will stop once and for all.
Well, we all sure hope so. Jack, back to you. What would you say to those who may be facing similar opposition across the country? I don't know that anyone's been through it like you have. What would you say to others who are facing similar issues?
Well, first I'd like to say, just confirm what Jake said, that we serve everybody at Masterpiece Cake Shop, but we just aren't able to express every message that people want us to with our custom cakes. And that was the case with this one. But we already knew, we had decided way before we opened over 30 years ago that there were certain cakes that we would not be able to create. And among them would be cakes with profanity on them, different things like that. But it was always the message of the cake, not the person asking for it. So just to answer your question, what would I advise people? It's like, know what your boundaries are and don't step over them.
Yeah, and stand up when they're challenged. Jake, what are you expecting from here? It's kind of having gone through it, what's your expectation from the court?
Well, we're very hopeful walking out of the courtroom on Tuesday. The U.S. Supreme Court decisively resolved this issue last year, showing that the government can't force artists to express things that they don't believe. The Colorado Supreme Court should faithfully apply that precedent to protect Jack in this case. Indeed, as the arguments went on, I think you could see justices understanding the critical issue that's at stake in this case, because if the government can force Jack to express messages that he doesn't believe, say the government changes hands, and it could be other people with different views being forced to express ideas that go against their beliefs. For example, we don't think the government should force an LGBT website designer to create custom websites criticizing views of marriage that they believe. Free speech is for everyone, and we're very hopeful that Jack is going to get justice at the end here.
Well, that's a great argument. Do you have any sense of timing on this, how soon we might learn a decision?
No, there's no particular deadline here, and I expect the court to take its time and try to get the decision right. So we're looking at probably at least a few months away.
Wow. Well, Jack, what do you let me ask you this, because we have tons of people on right now who have been following your cases for years. How can our audience be praying for you right now?
I think a lot of the prayer should go to the judges. They have a big task ahead of them. They want to get the decision right, and they want to make sure they write it all correctly so that the laws that they enforce here are laws that we can all live with, and freedom is maintained for all Americans.
Well, that's a great prayer, and I appreciate you directing the prayer to the judges. We certainly need to be placing our focus and our attention there. So certainly right now, all our viewers and listeners, I want to encourage you to do that. Jake, let me come back to you on what kind of impact would this decision from Colorado have across the country? And whatever decision they come to, what kind of rippling effect might we expect?
Well, certainly for the people in Colorado, a win for Jack would be a win for all people. It would confirm that Colorado officials cannot misuse state law to punish people that they disagree with. Free speech would truly be for everyone. Of course, if this case doesn't come out the right way, we would appeal up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where we hope that the court would reaffirm 303 Creative's holding that free speech is for everyone and put an end to this injustice.
Well, and you're certainly no stranger there, that's for sure. But I tell you, this has been one of those cases that so many of us have followed for years and years. And Jack, I know some of my time in Congress, it was good to meet you and personally see and speak with you as this battle was going on. But here it is yet again. Our prayers are with you. Our gratitude is with you. This is a case, as you well know, both of you, that is, Jack, it goes far beyond you. This impacts every one of us, and it sets a pathway of religious liberties across our country. So yet again, thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing up, and Jake, you, and all of you at ADF, we're deeply grateful. Thank you both for joining us today on Washington Watch.
It was our joy.
Yep. Our pleasure.
All right. Well, friends, so much. This is a enormously important case, and we'll do the best we can to keep you informed. All right, coming up after the break, we have an election integrity segment. We'll be looking at how Democrats in Michigan have literally gutted election recount protections. So stay tuned to Washington Watch. We'll get to that story right after the break.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and honored to have you with us today. All right, this week, the Michigan State Senate passed some legislation that completely upends ballot recount procedures in the state's elections. And what many are saying literally is opening the door to enable election fraud. Wow, that ought to make the hair on all of our necks stand up. Under this new legislation, power to investigate potential fraud is stripped from the Board of State Canvassers, and it shifts, rather, to catch this, a hyper-partisan group of county prosecutors. Additionally, the bill strips the Board of subpoena power, and it only allows them to refer fraud over to general and to prosecutors in the Democrat-controlled cities where the fraud is most likely to occur in the first place. Well, here now to sound the alarm is Michigan State Senator Jim Runstad. He represents Michigan's 23rd Senate District. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jody. It's a story that I'm so pleased you're covering, because nationally the outlets are covering it, but in the state of Michigan, there's only one radio station that will even permit any of the details. Every one of the TV outlets, complete censorship. All of the print media, complete censorship. There's not a single article that has been done on this story in the state of Michigan. And this has been an ongoing process for about a month, while the Democrats have been working this through the committees and then back and forth through the chambers to finally get it passed. And it was this week that they finally passed it, that it's going to go to the governor for her signature. And it's this gigantic rewriting of the election laws for the state of Michigan with virtually no coverage from the corporate-controlled media. It's absolutely disgusting. So the provisions are that under the current Board of Canvassers rules that have been in place for 70-plus years, if somebody brings an allegation of fraud or they discover an allegation of fraud, they are able to investigate that. they can dismiss it. They can go forward and subpoena people to try to get to the bottom of it. This has all been part of their ability. And in fact, in the 2020 election, the Board of Canvassers tried to find out what was happening in the city of Detroit. The city of Detroit went from 2016, where 72% of all the precincts could not be recounted. So the state gave them more time and money to fix the problem. And then in 2020, the fix was it went from 72 to 79% of all of the precincts could not be recounted, mainly because an overcount of vote, broken open ballot seals, and I mean, corruption all over the place, that anyone would say, we got to find out what's going on. So the Board of Canvassers said, we're going to find out. We're holding up the certification till we get some answers. What then happened is a tsunami of death threats from all over the country, from within the state to the Republican canvassers, is saying, you had better certify this election or you're done. We're going to kill you. And they doxed them. The woman Republican, her daughter's school and home address were doxed. A woman sent graphic photos of a tortured, bloody, murdered child. I've seen the photos. Sent to the mother and say, this will happen to your daughter if you don't certify the election. Now, you would think with the Democrats screaming bloody murder that we're going to lose our democracy and we got to protect the vote, that they would come after this very seriously, the attorney general and the prosecutors. What happened is this woman who did this made this real graphic threat, knowing the address of the little girl and the school. They waited 4.5 years to finish the investigation, and they gave this horrific woman a 5-day suspended sentence. So you can see there's this lawfare in Michigan. This is the way they roll. And so now the one area that we had independent, bipartisan people in every county who can look at this, stripped out of the bill, stripped out their ability to do any kind of subpoena power. So, and there's much more in there. They were before able to look at if there was allegations that people were voting who were not eligible. That was taken out. There was many other provisions, but the ones that were very clear is basically removing all the power of these individuals to investigate election fraud. It's absolutely horrible.
Let me ask you this. Our time is rapidly getting away. How is this ultimately going to impact the upcoming elections in November?
That's a great question, because everybody was saying, don't worry, don't worry. As long as the Democrats don't go sine die, which means end the term early, don't worry, then it won't take effect for this election. All this week, the newspapers have been filled with the Democrats saying that they may go sine die because they said the Republicans aren't going to give them the immediate effect vote on the budget. And they said, we got to get the budget through, so we may be having to go sine die. So ending the term, which means that all these election laws will be applicable this year. And all I kept hearing is they'll never do that. No, they've already done it for the first time in the second time in Michigan history, the Democrats just did it. And now they're threatening to do it again. And if they do for the second time, then all of these provisions will be applicable this year. And the media will not print a word. I'm so pleased that you're getting the word out there, because in Michigan, it is a completely controlled corporate environment where the media will not tell the voters what's happening.
Unbelievable. Well, Senator Jim Runstedt, I want to thank you so much for you standing up against this and swimming upstream, it seems, right now. We're honored to come alongside of you and help get this word out. Please help us keep a pulse on this. We look forward to staying in touch. Michigan Senator Jim Runstedt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jody.
All right, friends, after the break, Joseph Backholm is going to be joining me for our weekly worldview discussion. And we have a lot to bring your way in that regard, including the Ten Commandments in public schools. You don't want to miss what's coming your way. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a second.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Sometimes the headlines are overwhelming, and it feels like we're all alone and there is nothing we can do. That is exactly what the enemy wants us to believe. Reading through the Bible, there are many things that are counterintuitive. One of them is that God never uses a majority. It is always a minority devoted to the truth. Here at Family Research Council, we are grateful to stand side by side with other believers for the truth. And as a result, God is making a difference. When you partner with us, you are joining with Christians around the nation in standing together for the truth of God's Word, supplying pastors and parents and school boards with training and resources to stand up against the indoctrination of our children. Together, with God's help, we can preserve freedom for the next generation. Go to frc.org and become a Stand member today.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Washington Watch. Always an honor to have you on board. I'm Jody Heiss, your Friday host. And just a reminder, you can download the Stand Firm app today. You can, by doing so, get the latest news. You can connect with fellow believers. You can engage with government officials nationwide. So we want to encourage you to be sure to download that app. And as you get accustomed to using it, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. We are seeking and praying and working towards becoming one of the top 10 news sources nationwide. But I want you to know the Stand Firm app is available for you to download on Apple and Android devices wherever you get your apps, or you can simply text us by sending the word APP, A-P-P. Just text that to 67742, and we'll get you connected right away. All right, this week, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry signed into law some legislation making his state the first in the nation to require the Ten Commandments to be posted in every public school classroom. The key word there, I hope you caught it, this bill would require the Ten Commandments to be posted in every public school classroom. Of course, critics of the legislation, including the ACLU of Louisiana and the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're all arguing that the law violates students' and families' right to religious freedom. But in a society that applauds flying the pride flag in schools, do their demands for their ideology, do their demands really miss the mark? Well, joining me now in our weekly Worldview segment to discuss this and more is Joseph Backholm. He's a senior fellow at the Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview. Joseph, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you.
Good to see you, Jody. Thank you.
All right. Well, let me start by playing this clip of a rant by Whoopi Goldberg this week on The View in response to this bill coming out of Louisiana.
I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm not asking your kid to believe what I believe. Public school is public school.
Yeah.
It means everybody can go to public school. I don't understand why, if you want your child to have a religious education, send them to a religious school.
Yeah.
That there's nothing stopping you. Get out of my pocket, get out of my body, and get out of my school.
And back at you, Whoopi. I mean, Joseph, really, is the radical left asking us to believe what they believe by demanding all their radical stuff on our children?
Well, I think the response there to Whoopi is that public schools are religious schools, and that's really what this moment requires us to recognize. And it is ironic that this decision come down, or this has happened in Louisiana in June, which is perhaps the, well, it is the longest religious holiday in the West these days, but we don't. We should see it as a religious holiday, but we have not seen it as a religious holiday. And the reality is, you know, religions come in different flavors, shapes, and sizes, and we worship different gods. And to be sure, the Ten Commandments have religious origins, for sure. They also have historical significance to the United States and to the Judeo-Christian perspective, which is the foundation of Western civilization. And that's just a historical reality. So there are, you know, objective kind of secular reasons to want the idea that we shouldn't cheat on our spouses and steal from each other and kill each other. Those are values that we should be able to unite around. And of course, that's what the Ten Commandments exists to do. But what Whoopi Goldberg is trying to convince us of is that there is otherwise, if the Ten Commandments are not in government schools, that we are somehow dealing with a neutral space where no values are being encouraged. And that is simply not the case. And Pride Month is perhaps the best illustration of that. And we see examples of it throughout the school year, to be sure. But pride flags represent a set of religious values about who is in charge, what is the source of truth. And they would say, we are in charge and our feelings are the source of truth. And those are just different religious convictions than what Scripture gives us.
Absolutely. Well said. And that's exactly right. I mean, our public schools have become centers of indoctrination for a worldview, a secular worldview that in and of itself, as you so well described, is a religious belief unto itself. On social media this week, you got involved in an argument. Someone basically said that if you don't want the Quran in schools, then you likewise should not want the Ten Commandments in school. How do you respond to that kind of argument?
Well, I think, you know, across the political spectrum, we're dealing with this challenge. And, you know, a lot of Christians and conservative Christians celebrate the fact that the Ten Commandments have been said you required to be placed in public schools. And there is a response to that. And I think it is a fair response that requires consideration that, well, that is a religious statement that you like. But what happens when a different legislative majority says we would like to have the Quran placed in government schools? Now, there's a huge difference because the Quran has no historical significance to the state of Louisiana or the United States. And our laws are not based on the Quran, and Lord willing, they never will be. Those are places that we don't want to live. But the fact is, those are competing religious documents. And what we have to consider is to what extent do we want the government imposing certain religious teachings on us? And if we are going to allow the Ten Commandments to be required, should the Quran be required? There's differences, but there are similarities, and that's part of the debate that we're having. But for those who would say the Ten Commandments cannot be considered, many of them, like Whoopi Goldberg, are very comfortable with the idea of a pride flag in a classroom, but would say the Ten Commandments should be verboten because that's religious. And what they're, of course, missing is the inherently religious nature of all those symbols. So to me, Jody, what the question here is we as believers and just as thinkers need to understand there's no neutral ground. America's classrooms have never been neutral ground. They will not be neutral ground. But as we become increasingly pluralistic in terms of our religious secularism, and then the majority, a growing number of people who follow religions like Islam, it just is making it clear how difficult it is to have a one-size-fits-all education system that pretends to serve everyone, because the government system is always going to be teaching some things are good, some things are bad, some things are desirable, some things are undesirable. It always has been that way. It always will be that way. And now that we have a growing number of, you know, Islam adherents, still a significant number of Christians, and then we have all these religious secularists in kind of the religion of pride, you can't serve all those constituencies. So what we have to do is stop trying. And I think as a practical matter and as a policy matter, one of the responses need to be that we need to give families the choice to determine what the religious upbringing of their children is. Because what the government's trying to do right now is maintain a monopoly on that and say, unless you're wealthy, the only option you have is to go to our schools which teach the religion of pride. And that, of course, is the establishment of religion that we should be trying to avoid. What we need to do and what we are doing, and there's momentum in this direction, and I believe it will continue to develop, and we should support that effort, is give parents the right to choose for themselves what institution am I going to go to, and what are they going to teach my kids. And if I don't like the values that institution, if I don't like the religion of pride, or I don't like the religion of Islam, or I don't even like the religion of Christianity, I should not be forced to send my kid to an institution that does those things. And so choice is really the answer, because what we're seeing is a one size fits all just fits no one.
Yeah, good point. And yeah, I can put an exclamation point, if you will, on what you said, that there is no neutrality. I certainly saw that in my time in Congress. Every piece of legislation has behind it a certain worldview, a certain value system that would dictate either the passage of or the opposition toward whatever piece of legislation is being offered. All of these things, and people say, we've all heard the argument, you can't legislate morality. That's what every law that we have is legislating, is morality. And that certainly, that principle, that concept of understanding certainly applies to the public school system as well. Let's get back to Louisiana. I want to get your thoughts more specifically on this. The governor there, Jeff Landry, is certainly anticipating a very negative response from the left. In fact, at the bill's signing, he made some comment to the effect that he can't wait to get sued. You know, even the ACLU would concede that the Ten Commandments are a historical document. It is a religious text, but it is a historical document as well. Well, wouldn't they agree to that?
Well, you know, it's going to be ironic should this case ever make it to the United States, where they will be, arguing that the Ten Commandments are unconstitutional in a place where the Ten Commandments are being publicly presented, right? And there are state Supreme Courts.
Well, and they're all over Washington, D.C.
Correct.
They're all over the place.
And so it shows the kind of inherent challenge that secularism and the ACLU has, and the Freedom From Religion foundations have, in making the argument that the founders wrote our Constitution to protect us from the Ten Commandments. The historical record makes it very clear that's not the case. They wanted to make sure there was not an establishment of religion, that people weren't punished for believing something different than what the majority believed. But in no sense did our founders intend to disqualify ideas that happen to be religious. And of course, we see the consequences when we get unmoored from any source of truth, and when every single individual believes that they are the final source of truth. It's creating a chaotic environment for us today. But no, our founders did not believe that we must scrub the public square of every religious heritage, piece of our history, and every kind of connection to religious ideas. That's not how our Constitution works. Religious people are welcome to bring their religious convictions, whatever they may be, to the public square. And in no sense are we guaranteed to be free from the expression of any religious idea. And back to the original point, that's actually an impossible objective, because whether you worship you worship God, or you worship Muhammad, or you worship, you know, the pride flag and the ideas represented by it. You are being a religious actor. That's the important point to remember. So we're all equally eligible to participate, but the government doesn't get to punish anyone because of what their beliefs are.
Great point. All right. Speaking of differences and all these and how those differences are brought to the public square, I want to switch over, if we can, to another topic. There was a recent poll that really showed the difference, if you will, between Trump and Biden voters when it comes to marriage and family. And from your perspective, what has this informed us of? What is it? What have we?
Yeah, well, this research from Pew asked the question: is society better off if we prioritize marriage and family? And there was a huge difference between those who said they were going to vote for Biden and those who said they were going to vote for Trump. Only 19% of Biden voters said that society is better off if they prioritize marriage and family. 59% of Trump voters said that society is better if you prioritize marriage and family. Now, from my perspective, both of those numbers are far too low, but the 40-point delta is really an insight into the worldview differences between the left and the right today. And frankly, kind of the it's kind of a chicken or egg question. Does that worldview lead to the political priorities of the left, or did the political priorities of the left lead to necessarily devaluing marriage and family? But when you think about things like, you know, the sexual revolution, which certainly has redefined marriage, and that leads to a lot of genetic dead ends, you have things like no-fault divorce, you have abortion, which of course exists to make sure there are fewer babies in the world. All of those legislative priorities are reflective of a worldview that says, yeah, the most important thing in life is not the family, and I'm not, I don't have a duty to help build culture by building a family. It's I have a duty to serve myself, and so whatever is going to make me happiest in the next 10, 30 minutes, that's the priority. And what we all know, those of us who have been married and have children, is they are the enemy of comfort. They are certainly worth it, but they are inconvenient to be sure. And that's really a long-term play for marriage and family. And increasingly, the left is making the short-term play and prioritizing that. And you're seeing that value system difference, that worldview difference, and how it's playing out in a lot of public policy. And basically, this poll is telling us, yes, they just don't value, we just don't value the same things on the different political sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and it's amazing how that is having such a rippling effect on so many different aspects of our culture. And I think you pose a good question with the chicken and egg. Did the policies create the worldview, or did the worldview create the policies? I think that's an interesting thing to ponder. I don't know that I can give a solid answer right now to that, but it's an interesting question. But the bottom line, the end result, is this is impacting so many different thought processes in our country, be it abortion or same-sex marriages or gender ideology, all these types of things. It's having an impact across the board.
That's right, Jody. And it also allows us to have clarity about the choice that we're about to make in an election. If we empower the worldview that says marriage and family is not a priority, we will get more of that. We will get more of a culture that does not prioritize marriage and family. And the line has been drawn, the sides have been picked, and now we as voters and as citizens get to decide who do we want to lead us.
Great, great way to end this, Joseph. We appreciate it very much. Joseph Backholm, always an honor to speak with you. Thank you for your insight today.
Thank you, Jody. Good to be with you.
All right, that wraps up yet another week and another edition of Washington Watch, and we leave you with a lot to think about. And it all comes down, when all is said and done, is what is God's opinion of all of this. So I want to encourage you to go to church with an open heart to hear what he has to say. We'll see you next week right here on Washington Watch. Have a great weekend.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.